Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to read a well-known story in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 46. And there came to Jericho, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, a son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now that's all I intend to read tonight. And I know that it's a well-known passage, and I'm sure many of the children here are familiar with the story of this man referred to as blind Bartimaeus. But I just very simply tonight want to recap this story, and just to give you a little bit of an understanding as to what's happening in this passage that we've read tonight. There's a particular man, and unfortunately he's a man that is blind, born blind. He can't see. His eyes have been closed. And as this man makes his way through life, it becomes very evident to him that because of his limited abilities, because of his handicap, that he can't take on a normal occupation like other individuals in his city would have. So this man sets out on his way through life, and hindered by his handicap, he's forced to be a beggar. So he's sitting on the side of the road, in the darkness of blindness, sitting there with absolutely nothing. And he's begging, just wanting people to give him a little something. As we go over this story, we're going to find that the Savior comes. And the Savior's able to give this man sight. But prior to getting to that, I would like to make each individual in the meeting tonight understand this. That Bartimaeus represents you. You are Bartimaeus. You will say, Joe, well, I'm not Bartimaeus. Well, just wait a minute. When it comes to Bartimaeus, there's two things that characterize Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, number one, you're a man that's blind. You say, huh. I'm not blind. Bartimaeus, number two, he's a man that's begging. You say, ha, I'm not begging, so I'm not like Bartimaeus. Well, let's slow down for a minute and follow me through here. You see, the problem with the man that's blind is he doesn't know where he's going. Where are you going? If tomorrow morning your corpse was cold upon your bed, we stood and we said, where did he go? Where'd you be? You say, I don't know. You're blind. You see that not only though are you a blind man, but secondly, you're a beggar. You say, I'm not a beggar at all. I have my own vehicle. I have my own house. I have my own bank account. I'm not a beggar. You see, the problem with a beggar is this. A beggar has nothing for tomorrow. Let me ask you now, let's just slow this down. If you die tonight, what would you have for tomorrow? Do you have anything to keep you going for tomorrow? We're not just talking about food on the table. We're talking about everlasting life. You see, Bartimaeus, he's a blind man, and he's begging. And you're exactly the same. Because you don't know where you're going. And you have nothing for tomorrow. You know, in the little town of Sussex where we are, it's not uncommon to see a young man walking with a white stick, with a red band of tape on the bottom of that stick. And his grandmother takes that young boy by the arm, and she leads him cautiously down the sidewalks of the town of Sussex. I saw them walking by the high school the other day, in the construction zone, and the curves are different heights, and certain areas were paved, and certain areas were concrete, and then there's just dirt. And she so cautiously is leading that boy across those curves and down over those gullies, and she's carefully taking that boy. You know, I was at Walmart not too long ago and I saw a similar scene. The aisleways were packed. And into that Walmart came a man with thick glasses. that were tinted dark, just like sunglasses. He had a stick that was white with a red band of tape, and he's scanning that stick across that smooth concrete floor as he's making his way. And once in a while, you'd hear it as it tap on the side of the shelving as he's making his way. But you know, as I observed this man walking, I observed something else. The crowd that was in those aisleways, they're stepping off to the side. And they're watching out for the blind man. And they're making way for him. They recognize that here's a man in desperate need. We need to pity the man. We need to give the man his place. We need to give this man an opportunity. We need to give this man a chance to make his way the very best he can. You know, as I think of it, I think that's exactly what you need to do tonight. Because you're the blind man, you don't need to worry about looking around at everyone else. But just for a minute, focus upon yourself. Forget about everyone else. And just for a moment, care about your own soul. Because this could be the very last opportunity, just as it was for Bartimaeus. You know, I was thinking of that verse this afternoon. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Bartimaeus was a man, he didn't care what others thought. For him, he's blind, he's begging, he has nothing to lose. And Jesus is coming. You know, when it comes to this blind man Bartimaeus, so just consider with me for a minute Bartimaeus in his city. It was the city of Jericho. Jericho is the lowest place on planet Earth. And in this lowest place on planet Earth, this is where Bartimaeus finds himself, in the lowest place. You know, as I look at society today, 2 Timothy, I believe it is, would agree with us that society is at its lowest point that it's ever been. Because Paul writes to Timothy, and he warns him of the end times, and he says, things are going to wax worse and worse. Things are just going to get more and more out of control. And he says, Timothy, watch out, because in the last time, things are going to get worse. Let me tell you, society is more dark, deprived, and in depths that it's never ever got to before. And that's where Bartimaeus finds himself. You say, Bartimaeus, in that lonely city, the city that was judged by God, the city that should never have been rebuilt. You say, Bartimaeus, you make that place your home? You're comfortable in that place? Well, you know what we read of Bartimaeus? In that dark, sinful, wicked city, he made himself right at home. You know what the sad reality is? There's young men, young girls, men and women in this meeting tonight, and in this dark world of sin, you've made yourself right at home. You know what it says of Bartimaeus? He got himself a seat. He took a seat. He made himself as comfortable as he could be in that dark and that wicked, sinful city. You say a blind man? Yeah, a blind man. A beggar? A beggar. But he's comfortable in his condition. You know what's a sad reality is this. There's young boys here tonight, and you're comfortable in your sin. And that's why you sit there, and you don't get real with God. You don't get real with yourself, because you're comfortable in your sin. And you sit in the darkness. You sit in depravity. You sit so far away from God, but you're comfortable there. And Bartimaeus, at this moment, he was none the different. You know about Bartimaeus in his city? Bartimaeus in his comfort. But Bartimaeus in the chaos. You know, where does Bartimaeus make his seat? He makes his seat by the highway side. You know, by the highway side, it's a place of commotion. It's a place of busyness. It's a place of movement. It's a place of action. It's a place of entertainment. It's a place of excitement. And here Bartimaeus is, and he sits himself right down at the side of the road. He says, I'm just going to get everything I can out of this. He says, I'm just going to relax, and I'm going to listen to the show as it goes by. He says, I can't really see what's going on. I don't understand what it's all about, but I'm just going to enjoy it while I can. You know, that's what sin is like, isn't it? People don't think to look ahead to consider where this is going to take them, or what it's going to do to them, or what the end result or the end consequence will be. But they sit in comfort in their sin, and they take it in like entertainment, and they soak it into their soul. And Bartimaeus, he sits in the chaos of life, comfortably. So far away from God. You know, what about you now? What about you? There you are, you're going to school every day. Maybe you work in the evenings. Maybe you have a weekend job, whatever it may be. And life is so busy. Do you ever take a chance to think about where you'll be after you die? Do you ever take time to consider, what if there is life after death? Where would I be? if this is my final day on earth, Bartimaeus in the chaos. You know, but I want to notice one more thing about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus and his collecting. You know, he's quite a collector. You know, I just want you to think for a minute about a blind man sitting by the highway side begging. Let's say you went up and you put $1 million in that cup. What's it going to do for him? I don't know. Maybe we'll buy him a nicer bed. It's not going to give him his sight. But do you know what he wanted? All Bartimaeus wanted was a little bit more. If you could just give him $1, he'd be happy for $1. If you could give him 10, he'd be happy with 10. You know what he wanted to get out of life? Just a little bit more. You know what people are doing today? Teenagers, you know what you're doing? You're living your life wanting just a little more. A little more excitement. A little more fun. A little more on the edge. And we live our lives every day like that. I was a teenager once too. I know how it was. But you know what we forget to think about? We forget to think that someday the clock's going to stop ticking. And then it's eternity. And what will all of this matter? None of it will matter. It's gone. Bartimaeus. You know, but as we consider Bartimaeus, out of his city, out of his comfort, out of his chaos, out of his collecting. Did you get? Listen to this. Bartimaeus heard. Bartimaeus heard. That's what it says. He heard. You know, just noticing this. When it comes to a person that's not saved, the Bible always wants them to listen. When it comes to a person that is saved, the Bible always wants them to watch. 1 Peter chapter 5, what does it say about the devil? It's speaking to Christians and it says, be vigilant, watch. Christians need to watch. You say, well, why can't I watch too? Because you're blind. Because you're blind. That's why the Bible says you need to listen. John chapter 5, verse number 24, he that heareth, open the ears, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. You know, that's what you need to do tonight. Because you're stuck in the blindness and the darkness of sin, because of the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Because that's your condition, you need to open your ears and you need to listen. You know, as I consider this man, blind Bartimaeus, I wonder what he heard. All that Mark chapter 10 tells us is that he heard that Jesus was passing by. Jesus is coming. There must have been something about that name Jesus that spoke to this man. You know what I think it was? I think Bartimaeus knew this man saved others. This man saved others. And if he saved other people, he can save me too. Now, young people, I want you to think for a minute. You with me? Just stay with me. I know you're tired. Stay with me. Do you know someone that's saved? Do you know someone that's saved that's really a Christian born again? If you know someone that's saved, for sure, you know what that means? You can be saved too. You can be saved too. Because he saved others, he can save you too. And Bartimaeus came face to face with that fact. And once he heard that, you know what he began to do? He began to cry out. And it's interesting now. When there's a cry is going to be answered with a charge. But Bartimaeus doesn't care. Bartimaeus cries out, the people charge him to hold his peace. Bartimaeus, just be quiet. What's he do? He cries the more a great deal. You know, if you want to be saved, you know what needs to happen? You need to get far beyond the crowd. You need to get far beyond what other people are thinking. Far beyond what other people are saying. And go in for God's salvation. He cried the more a great deal. You know, as he began to cry out, you say, well, why was he crying? He was crying because he had a need that only Christ could meet. And I'd like to remind boys and girls and men and women in your sins. Tonight, you have a need that only Christ can meet. You can't come up to me and I can't forgive you of your sins. But you can come to God and ask for forgiveness through the work of his Son at Calvary. Because he's the one that died. He's the one that bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And through faith in Christ, you can have everlasting life. But he cried the more a great deal. You know, there's three little C words in this passage, all in reference to verbal speaking. Okay? Now, I got to be careful here because I got a friend and I don't want to embarrass him. I didn't know he's going to be here tonight. But he'll have mercy on me. It said the Bartimaeus said he cried out. He cried out. You know what that means? It means that he crowed like a raven. He called out. I have a friend and he has an ability to do animal sounds. He can bark like a dog. He can crow like a crow. The unfortunate thing is that sometimes those verbal sounds happen at the wrong time. And the timing's off. And you might be talking to someone and you hear the crow. It's embarrassing because he's crowing. Now listen now. Bartimaeus, stay with me. Bartimaeus, he sat on the side of the road and he called out and crowed like a raven. Repetitively, sharp, shrill, over and over and over and over again. Because he wanted to be saved. Let me ask you something. Would you be willing to be embarrassed for God's salvation? Bartimaeus was. Bartimaeus didn't care what people thought. For him, it didn't matter. He was going in for God's salvation. Bartimaeus cried. But the people, what's the C word for the people? It says that they charged him. You know what that means? Here we have a man and he's crowing like a raven. And the people start to charge him. You know what it means? This is what it means. To rebuke, to belittle, to speak sharply. Just to put the man down and to run him into the ground. Just, Bartimaeus, shut it up. Quiet it down. We don't want your nonsense. But what's he do? He cried the more a great deal. My dear boy tonight, if I can get nothing across to you, let me get this across. If you want to be saved, you have to cry out for God's salvation and go after it with all your might, with all your heart, or you'll never get saved. No, but then I read what the Lord Jesus says. Bartimaeus cried out. The people charged him. The Lord Jesus commanded him. You know what that means? What do you think it means to command him? You say, well, it's like a military soldier and he stood there and put his shoulders back and he stomped his feet and hollered the command. No, it's not. You know what the word is there? It's just to speak. Bartimaeus, come here. You know what I learned from that? God's not going to yell at you to try save you. Preachers do that sometimes. I'm guilty of that sometimes. But God's just going to speak to you. And he's going to leave you his written word. And he's going to give you an invitation that if you want to be saved, you just come to him and he'll save you. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to crow it like a raven. He's just going to speak to you. That's what he did to Bartimaeus. And you know what Bartimaeus did? That was good enough for him. He said, if the Savior is willing just to come and speak to me, I'll go talk to him. I want to go to him. How about it tonight? Have you ever had a moment in your life when you recognize that God is speaking to you? A real moment. He wasn't yelling at you. He wasn't getting all excited, but he's speaking to you. Just saying, young boy, you need to be saved. Young girl, you need to be saved. Teenager, don't go on any longer in your sins or you'll be lost forever. And he speaks just softly and gently through his word. That's all Bartimaeus got. But the result at the end of this day for Bartimaeus was he got saved. What's going to be the result for you? Are you going to get saved? Are you going to go home tonight and get down beside your bed on your knees and say, thank God, I'm saved. You know, I can do that. You know why? Because when I was 13 years old, I heard the voice of God. It wasn't yelling at me. It wasn't shouting. And I'm sorry if I get excited preaching sometimes. But God just spoke to me. Said, Joe, if you die like you were, you'll be lost forever in your sins. But if you come to me, I can save you. Because my son, the Lord Jesus, died at Calvary. And he paid the price for sin. Now Bartimaeus, as the story goes on, Bartimaeus, what does he do? He says that he rose up, took off his garment, and went to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just want to think for a minute because time's almost up. I want to think what the Lord Jesus did. Do you get it? What's the verb associated with the Lord Jesus? Says that he ran. No, he never ran. Says that he went. No, he never went. Says that he walked. No, he never walked. You know what he did? He just stood still. And in a moment of time, he stopped. Why did he stop? Because he wanted to wait for Bartimaeus to come to him. He wanted to save Bartimaeus. I want to tell you of a moment that the Savior talked. Not on a dusty road outside of the city of Jericho. But I want to tell you of a time that the Savior stopped. And he stopped at a place called Calvary. You know, there he was in He was held without movement, solitary by himself, motionless, hanging upon a cross, and he stopped. And it almost seemed as if all heaven stopped. As the wrath of God was poured out upon his Son, the universe couldn't control itself, and the Son was clothed in darkness. Mankind in the darkness of the middle of an afternoon, sit at the foot of the cross, wondering what's happening. The universe stopped. Humanity stopped. Heaven stopped. Christ stopped at Calvary. And when I think of it, that the very heartbeat of the Son of God, it stopped at Calvary. As a man of sorrows laid down his life and paid the price for my sin, I think what a miracle that he stood still. Here's Bartimaeus, and he's come to the understanding that here's a man and he stopped. He's waiting for me to come to him, and I'm going to go in for salvation with all that I have. You know, it must be a wonderful thing to be called. Imagine the blind man, there he is, can't see. But there's a voice, and it must have rang like no other voice he ever heard before as he spoke to the Savior. To be called, it's a wonderful thing. I'd like to remind everyone here tonight, we've all been called. You've been called. We sometimes sing the gospel hymn, "Come is a sweet invitation of grace. Come unto Jesus, the soul's resting place. Come. For his suffering for sinner is done. Come, for the Father is well pleased in his Son." Everything's finished. And as a result of that, the call can go forth to you tonight. We could read it in Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." The Lord Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, he speaks the word himself. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Is there someone here tonight like Bartimaeus? You just quieten yourself and come to Christ in the depths of your sin. You know, when it comes to Bartimaeus, what's he do? It says that he rose up and he took a stand. You say, what did he take a stand against? He took a stand against all the people. He took a stand against everything popular. He took a stand against his problem. He took a stand against his past. And he went in for a person called Christ. What about it tonight? You willing to leave all the darkness and nonsense of your past behind and go in for Christ? Because if you do that, you can be saved. You know, Bartimaeus was so certain that Christ was going to save him, he took off his garment. That garment identified him as a blind man. He says, "I don't need that anymore because I'm going to go to Christ." Let me ask you, is there someone tonight? And really, you'd be willing to leave your past behind? Leave it all in the past and go in for God's salvation. Let me tell you tonight, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. The Lord Jesus, you can almost imagine as he gets this man and he offers him the blank check and asks him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And Bartimaeus says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." You know what happened after Bartimaeus got his sight? This is what it says. He followed Jesus in the way. And see, a person that's saved has a different walk than they had before. They're going to follow Christ. You know, I'd want each of us here tonight just to look at our footsteps. How's our walk doing? Because if there's a problem with the walk, it might be because we're following the wrong person. The Lord Jesus says, though, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," shall we pray. Our Father, we bow tonight. We would like to give thee thanks again for thy Son this evening, Lord. We're so thankful that we can come here tonight and in a feeble way tell these individuals of the Savior that died at Calvary. Lord, we'd love for everyone here tonight to know their sins forgiven. We ask thee, Father, to give them real thoughts of eternity. And we pray that tonight they'd even go home and get down beside the little beds and ask thee to save them, Lord. We just would pray for each one. We ask you to watch over us as we make our way home to our different homes, Lord, and just give us a good week, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. We're just going to sing a couple verses of hymn number 24. Hymn number 24, thanks so much for coming. We really appreciate it. Hymn number 24, "Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word." We'll sing the second and third verse of hymn number 24, and the meeting is over.
For Jesus shed his prayer. Trust him. you.